like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a returning guest, and it's been a little while since you were on the show. I feel like it wasn't that long ago, but the whole pandemic and everything associated with it just completely messed up my sense of time. So you could tell me it was like last week or it was 5 years ago, and it would still sort of, both answers would seem right. So it has been a bit, though, and at the time we talked originally, you had just released, I think it was just the one single. And so now, obviously, you know, time has passed. You're doing more things. You're playing more shows. You have more music that is coming out, has been recorded, has been released. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and a bit of background about what you do as an artist, and we can take it from there.
Sure. I'm Doug MacArthur. I'm a singer-songwriter from here in Winnipeg. Yeah, I've been working on a lot of new music and organizing a lot of stuff with other artists as well, and doing a bunch of co-writing and recording and stuff like that. And I've got a bunch of bigger things coming up really soon. Just to give people a general, this is a weird question because people ask me like, oh, what genre of music do
I know,
you play?
It's not, everyone hates that question,
to,
right? Because it's, a,
right?
There's
it's very,
so many,
it's very difficult to nail down.
So many subgenres of subgenres and offshoots of this and that. And so yeah, I was going to ask you that anyway, but how do you define it? I mean, singer-songwriter is such a vague umbrella term.
Oh, absolutely, right. Yeah, and this is a tough one for me too. My snarky answer is you go listen to the music and figure it out for yourself. But obviously that doesn't help when someone's just like genuinely curious about the kind of stuff that I make. So I think like what I've nailed it down to is the sort of alt rock influenced by 90s alternative music. And now actually sort of more leaning into the folk end of things.
Okay.
Is kind of where I'm at now.
When you come by that 90s alt rock thing naturally too, having played in those kind of bands sort of leading up to this solo gig, and you also do, you know, you play cover stuff too, which probably I'm assuming leans heavily on some of the 90s hits.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My cover band, we play stuff all the way from like the 70s through to the sort of mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Early 2010s kind of range. Yeah, a lot of it is just, you know, based in that sort of, you know, four-piece rock and roll band type stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And so, I mean, going into the folk thing, obviously there's definitely crossover. I mean, a lot of that kind of 90s alt rock stuff definitely can be converted into sort of singer-songwriter folk stuff. But in terms of like switching, you know, from maybe louder, heavier stuff to a style of music that's maybe more introspective, a little bit softer. I mean, you have a big voice. You have a voice that works, I think, with that alt rock stuff. So what do you have to do to sort of change your style to be doing something that's more folk, more singer-songwriter? Do you have to tone everything down a little bit? And the reason I ask is because I saw you live over the summer and the volume didn't seem to change. You know what I mean? Like you were still, there was still power to it.
Yeah.
It was still loud, but I mean, it's you with an acoustic guitar up there. And so, yeah,
that is true. Sorry, I'm going to move my cat out of the way.
Sure.
This is Bruce Springsteen.
Right on.
To answer your question. Yeah. I mean, that's actually something I've been working on and thinking about a lot lately is just to try and introduce, a gentler approach to performing.
Okay.
Overall, and to songwriting. You know, it's my natural inclination is loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just through and through, you know, playing heavy bands when I was younger kind of influenced me there for sure. And so, and that influenced my writing style too. But what I've been doing lately is, yeah, a lot of co-writing. And so I've hosted three now. I've hosted three songwriting retreats at my family's cottage this year.
Yeah, I saw that you do. That's really cool. Yeah.
And that was a great opportunity to sit down with other artists who are completely outside of, you know, what my normal style of writing is. So for example, I've actually been doing quite a bit of writing with, Amber from Sweet Alibi. We've written three songs and we're working on a fourth
right now. Okay.
So that's been a great experience for me because she has a very different style of writing. And so for us to sit down and try and adapt to each other has been really interesting too. And to just pay attention to those quieter moments, because I think there's something interesting that you can do there.
Was that always sort of your plan once you started doing the solo music? Again, I know you have a cover band. You've also played in a number of bands leading up to this point, like we mentioned. Were you always wanting the project that's just you to be more in that vein, or is it just sort of where your interests are going and sort of the way that the songs have, you know, converted themselves over the years?
Well, I always find it interesting if an artist has a definitive answer to that. Like, oh, I had a plan for what my music was going to be.
Some people definitely do. Yeah. Yeah.
That's never me. I kind of just go where the wind takes me. I just try and catch inspiration when it comes. And then, lately I've just been a lot freer about sharing early versions of songs or even little snippets of ideas with other people just to be like, okay, is this anything? And then to have other writers put their influence onto it as well, because it just can point you in a different direction. So I don't think I'm intentionally trying to make different music than I made before,
yeah.
But it's just a natural progression based on, you know, what I'm influenced by, what I'm thinking about, you know, the progressions that I've been playing. Like it's all just sort of coincidental to a certain degree.
For sure. Yeah. So what do you look for then when you're co-writing with someone? Like what makes someone a good co-writer? Because, you know, you're doing these retreats, you've obviously worked with a lot of people over the last little while. How do you know when there's a connection with another writer that's going to work?
You just don't know that. Especially if it's a person who, even if it's someone who I've admired the work for a long time, like Amber, when she came out to my retreat, we hadn't spent a ton of time together before that. We were acquaintances.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But in advance of that, hadn't. But we've developed a really great friendship since then. And that just knowing someone on that level has really helped put us in a comfortable space.
Sure.
When we're working together on music. But to answer your question, like it's very difficult to just sit down with somebody who you may not know very well, and to try and be vulnerable, and, you know, put your ideas out there and hope that there's something that happens that your musical styles gel, even if you've listened to a lot of their stuff, in the moment. And it might just be the day that you sit down and work with them as well because of whatever they're thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's so circumstantial. But I think like the best thing that you can do if you're somebody who's wanting to work with other writers and, you know, is just to be open to it, to not be so set on there being a specific sound or a specific theme of a song. Just let it go where the conversation goes. Be open with your ideas, but then also just be willing to kill your darlings. You know, just if you have something that you really feel is something, but it's just not working with somebody else, put it aside. Maybe there's someone else you can work with on that idea. It's really hard though, because I've definitely been in many sessions with very talented writers and performers where at the end of it, we wrote a song and then we put it aside because we were just like, okay, well, we did the thing. But what we produced was not something that either of us are particularly interested in sort of continuing to work on.
Sitting on the edge, ready to fall to something new. It'll pinch your nerve, you lose the feeling that you always knew. And your legs go numb, try to tell you something.
Is it dangerous to go? Should I go it alone? This familiar
Maybe a better way of approaching the question then is at what point do you know when something is something that you want to continue working on? Like, there's got to be something that clicks maybe for both of you when something like really is working out. Like, how do you sort of determine that you're headed in the right direction, especially with someone you're not super familiar with working together?
There's just a feeling that you get, you know. I think working on anything is like this, any creative outlet, sure, right? Sure. If you just sense the excitement in someone else, that your ideas excite them, and then it goes back and you start having a big back and forth about where things can go and things like that. And there's a lot of energy in the room. Things are progressing quickly, you know, lots of ideas being bandied about. I think that if you pick up on that energy, that's when you know, like, okay, this is something. This is like, yeah, there's a momentum to it that you can feel.
Okay, no, that's fair. That makes a lot of sense. And you're right. I think it is not just with songwriting; it's with anything, any collaborative project. There's a point where suddenly, like the light bulb moment, and you realize that it's going in the right direction.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
What is the plan then with all these collaborations and all this stuff you've been working on? Because obviously, you know, you get a lot out of the working with other writers, and in terms of developing your craft and coming up with ideas that maybe you wouldn't have found on your own. But what is the end goal of this? Are these songs that the ones with Amber, for example, are they going to be used for any upcoming projects?
We do have some tentative plans to perform them live.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So that's a thing that we've been chatting about just very casually, not in any formal way. We've done some demos that sound pretty good, and I'd like to continue to do more of those as we keep on working on stuff. But right now it's pretty formless.
Okay.
Like, we're just two friends who are writing music together just for fun. We have a lot of ideas. Some of them become songs that we're both pretty excited about, and then we'll see what happens after that. Like, I think if ultimately what we produce is that we have a sort of duo EP or something we put out,
yeah,
that'd be great. Or if we just keep them for ourselves and we play them live a couple times and that's where it ends, also great. Like, I would feel totally satisfied with any one of those outcomes.
Well, and in the meantime, you have your own music you're doing as well, independent of that, right? Independent of that project. So what else have you got sort of in the pipeline right now?
Well, I do want to go back and comment on one thing you asked me about, which is sort of like, you know, what is my end goal for any of these collaborations?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, selfishly, it is great inspiration for me and great motivation for me to work with other people because, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, there's like, you know, a sense of sort of responsibility or, you know, accountability that you get when you work with other people that, oh, you have this idea and you showed it to someone, therefore you may be more motivated to finish it because you know that they'll be curious what's happening with that.
Yeah, that is
true. But I think I find more that, it just sparks inspiration for me, outside of even just sitting down with someone else and bouncing ideas off of them. Like, for example, this most recent retreat that I hosted, I had more people out this time than I've had before. And so that put me in a position where I was actually mostly just sort of hosting and trying to facilitate other people and, didn't particularly feel inspired myself. I was helping another writer, work through a song idea, and that was great. We're going to continue to work on that. But for myself, I didn't really write anything on my own. But when I came home, you know, there were a lot of little seeds of ideas that started to come together for me that just hadn't before I went out there and had that experience. So it's always different. It always depends on who's there and you know, what work you do and stuff like that. But I think ultimately for me, number one, it's very satisfying for me to put something like that together just because people don't have that opportunity to have the focus, you know, of getting away from the city and having an entire weekend to just work on music and hang out with some other cool people they may not know that well. And then the other part of it being that, that I might get some inspiration out of it, but it might not come till later. And that's totally cool too.
Well, I was going to ask about that. You kind of touched on that just now, but the idea of being isolated from sort of everything that's going on and going out to a cabin and having this weekend of just writing. I mean, that's got to make an impact on sort of the creative process, right? Just being that kind of locked away in a room sort of vibe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it is interesting too, because, you know, when we show up, I like to go around and just sort of ask everyone what they want to get out of it. And a lot of people are like, look, I just want to go off and do my own thing. And I'm like, totally cool.
Yeah.
I love that. And then other people, you know, are more willing to usually split up into small groups and then, you know, go off and work on one song each and then come back and show each other what we've done and stuff like that. And so that tends to work really well too.
Cool.
That's actually some advice that I got from Sean McManus, formerly of Manitoba Music, because I took a songwriting program at the U of M. Last year, and he was one of the instructors for the Business of Music course. It was himself and Stu Anderson from Birthday Cake teaching that class. And so I just happened to sort of ask him because I had one of those retreats coming up, like, oh, how do you, like, have you ever done something like that? How do you structure it? And he gave me some great advice saying basically, yeah, break it off into groups, small groups, and have it be like one person is the main artist, one person is helping write, and the other person's doing engineering or other support. And giving people roles like that just really helps to define what the work is. I don't want to like try and dictate to other people and stuff like that
too much.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Peering into this black mirror doesn't make me see things clearer. An infinite scroll has got no soul. Now and then I think that I should have had that beach day life. But that's not me. Frankly, it's a lie. There's nothing better in my view. Where it goes. precious time.
Precious time.
So getting back to what I was asking before, but that I'm glad you elaborated on that a bit there. But what else do you have going on now with as far as your own stuff? Because I mean, on top of all these other things you're doing, working with other artists and co-writing and doing these retreats, you also have your own thing happening where you're writing your own songs, you're releasing your own singles, you got music coming out. What's new in that world?
Quite a lot, actually. So I started working with a new producer earlier this year, LSR Thiessen, who you may know as the guitarist and producer for Diaphony.
Right. I've heard the name before too, for sure. Like in various credits on records and things.
Yeah. He's worked with a lot of great artists. So I got connected with him earlier this year and he and I worked on two songs together. One of which is the next one I'm releasing called Magic.
Okay.
Another one called Lost Weekends. So it was a great process working on those two songs. We mostly did tracking at his home studio. And then when it came time to do bass and drums, we actually tracked that at No Fun Club.
Oh, cool. Okay.
He brought in John Barron on bass. I'm totally blanking on who played drums on that. Wow, that's going to... It's not gonna be great. Brought in some really great session players on bass and drums. It was such a cool experience. It was quite a different experience from what I've done in the past though with bands, because you know, you have songs that you work on as a band and you play those live at shows a million bazillion times, and then once you feel like they're really polished, then you know you can go into the studio and you can almost do it live off the floor. That's actually how we did our final sort of Broken Halo record, was mostly live off the floor at Private Ear. So this was quite a different experience than that, doing everything sort of a track at a time. But what we built, I'm very proud of. And it was just so much fun working with LSR on those tracks. So So that was just a different, you know, different experience than even recording the first couple of solo tracks that I did with Rusty Robot.
Yeah.
A few years back. But still super fun. So Magic is the next single that I've got coming out, which is October 14th. I don't know, timing wise,
it'll be pretty close to the release of this. So either right before or right after. So people should definitely keep a lookout for it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll have a single release party for that as well at the Handsome Daughter, which will be super cool. Another thing that I have planned for this single release, was just kind of a dream of mine. I can't believe it's actually happening. Or I guess at this point it probably has happened already because it's coming up soon. I worked with Makai, who has been organizing these one-day choirs in collaboration with Good and Plenty Producers Club for a while. And I went to one of those not too long ago, an incredible experience. And so I approached Makai and I said, like, do you want to do a one-day choir event for my song? And she was totally on board with it. She created a choral arrangement of Magic specifically for the event.
Cool.
It blows me away, that, you know, this song that I wrote can be presented in such an interesting and different way.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And to just get a whole bunch of people in a room and all sing it together, is such a really super cool experience. So, I'm going to assume that went very well.
Let's say, we'll just say it did. Yeah. Yeah. There's no problems whatsoever. It was awesome. Everyone loved it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just one of those sort of pipe dream ideas for me to do something weird like that with a song of mine. And so I couldn't be happier that, people are willing to collaborate with me on stuff like that. And I'm definitely sort of emboldened. I want to do more weird stuff like that in the future, you know, where it makes sense to do it. But this one was particularly cool that it all came together.
Yeah. Well, I realize at the time we're talking about this hasn't happened yet. But by the time people hear it probably has. But does that give you, seeing that arrangement and everything for, if you've seen it already, for this song, does it give you a different sort of take on the song itself? I mean, having this new, someone else looking at it, someone else sort of coming up with the way it can be performed, does it give you any insight into the song that maybe you didn't have when you wrote it?
A little bit, yeah. Just taking the approach of having to arrange it for choir and as an a cappella piece, as you know, no like instruments present, it definitely opened up some interesting parts of the song. There are parts of it that are quite different. The phrasing of things in some parts is different. Some parts have been simplified just because, you know, nobody is going to be doing all the same vocal runs that I do on the song.
Right, right.
Just seeing someone like Makai, who's very talented and just understands how to approach a piece like that for choir is just so super cool. And it's in a universe that I don't exist in.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah.
You know, normally, because I don't read sheet music, I don't have like a super like strong foundation of music theory, stuff like that. So this is like, it's a little out of my comfort zone, but in a way that's very exciting for me.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's interesting that you don't have that background, because I think that the way, not having, you know, some deep background with theory, the way you write songs is probably going to be different than someone who has that background would approach it, right? Because you're approaching it from a more DIY kind of by ear sort of perspective, I would assume. And someone who's like very, very schooled in, you know, the multi levels of music theory and sheet music and all that, they're going to approach things from a more technical, maybe more practiced way almost.
Yeah. And that did come up actually, you know, I remember sitting down and showing this song, an earlier sort of incarnation of this song to Rusty. And there's a particular part in the bridge where the progression just kind of does something unexpected with the chord changes. And he goes, are you sure you want it to go like that? Because shouldn't it be like this? And shouldn't you go down to the minor here? And isn't that what makes sense here? And I'm like, I'll try that, but I don't think so. I think I know what I wanted to do here. And I think it sounds how I kind of wanted to sound. So sometimes I love taking, you know, working with somebody who really has that different perspective,
you know, of
and
course,
try yeah. things and write. And if it makes the song better, yeah, I'm super for it. But sometimes my like weird, untrained, just sort of nuances or whatever it is in how I write, produce something interesting. And then other people who, who have that theory base go like, why did you make that choice? And I'm like, I don't know. It just sounded cool.
For sure. So. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I like that too. I feel like almost the best, I've said this a bunch of times before, I'm sure probably on the show as well, but I feel like the best bands are bands where you have, say there's three members. One member is completely untrained and is doing everything. They're making it up as they go along. And the other one or two of them have like very, very strong technical knowledge and know how to fix things. So the one person can bring a song in that is like, well, why would you do that? And then someone knows why you did that, or they can at least like sort of, you know, finesse it to make it fit. And I often find those bands work better than where it's, you know, three members, four members who all have this technical background, or everyone's making it up as they go along. Having that mix, it always reveals something interesting.
Yeah, completely. You know, one of my previous bands, Soapbox, we had a member who was very, classically trained.
Yeah.
And who definitely did have that ear. And it was really cool because they sort of became the musical director of the band, you know, to basically say like, we've got good bones here.
Yeah.
But let's figure out how to refine things and make some more interesting changes. And I learned a lot actually from him about, just chord inversions and like stuff like that, that I still use in songwriting now.
That's cool. Yeah. And then someone like that will, like, they're just so into it, right? When you have people who are that classically trained, they know this stuff like the back of their hand. So I've been in bands where I'm terrible at instruments and I'm making stuff up that I don't even know what the chord's called. But then you have someone who actually like could take that and say, they'd play it like this and this will actually work. And then it's like, oh, wow, that did work. You know, how did you know that? I don't even know what this chord is. But I mean, obviously you're a little bit more advanced than I am in terms of the actual playing. But yeah, there's definitely something to be said, I think, for a mix of not amateurish, but like sort of do-it-yourselfness with like heavy training.
I could go on for days at a time and never see another face. Live at the end of a winding road and enter my hermit phase. I could converse with the birds and the trees. They never take issue.
It was interesting. I was listening to your 1000th episode and listening to that remix or the sort of cleaned up version of that song.
Yeah.
That was very interesting. And it made me think about how these tools for separating audio, like, you know, take an old track and you can split up the stems even if you don't have the project anymore.
Which is what this was, basically.
Doing new things with it. Yeah. I actually recently did that, you know, with a demo of a song that, you know, Jared, the guitarist from Broken Hill, and I'd wrote 20 years ago.
Cool.
And there was this horrible, horrible drum track on it that was just like a drum loop that I pulled out of some library because I'm like, oh, this should have drums. So I drop it into my Cool Edit Pro project or whatever. And it just stayed there and I lost obviously the actual projects and stuff. So forever, it just really annoyed me that it has a horrible drum loop on it, but I was able to like drop that into Logic and use their new stem splitter and actually take out the crappy drums. And I'm like, wow, this is good. And I sent it back to my guitarist and he's like, oh, finally.
Yeah,
it's great.
Technology being used for good for once. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
You mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago, the idea of, I mean, first of all, the choir thing with this new single is definitely makes it unique, but you're also doing a single release show. This is something that happens now that is still very strange to me. Just the idea of releasing a single and having a show for it. And I mean, I understand that singles, a lot of people only release singles, never release albums now because of just the whole ecosystem of how music's consumed and how people put it out there. But I mean, are you hoping that this will lead to an EP, an album, something more substantial in length, or are you happy doing this sort of putting out a single and hyping it up in this way?
No, I'm not happy just doing that.
Okay. Some people are, so that's why I asked. Yeah.
I do think that for this song in particular, and the reaction that I've got from just playing it live enough and sharing early demos of it with people were excited about it. It seems to sort of be one that really catches people's ear.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought, like, okay, I'm going to put some, you know, I'm going to put some effort behind promoting this and do a proper release for it because I think that it's worth it for this. But my plan actually in the future is more just keep working with different producers. Because I really like the idea of taking the little kernel of a song that I have. Here's the progression. Here's the melody. Here's the lyrics. Now let's take a producer's style, and see what they can build on top of that or underneath it or whatever. That's something that's very interesting to me. I did that with Rusty. I did it with LSR. Obviously, you know, there's always back and forth and I'm giving some direction, but I don't really like the idea of coming into the studio and dictating to a producer, oh, it's got to sound like this, or here's my vision and it has to be this way.
Yeah.
I know some other people are very particular about how their stuff is recorded, but that's just not me. So my thought is, I don't know if I'll wind up executing on this, but I hope I do, is that I've got two songs that I recorded with Rusty Robot, two songs that I've now recorded with LSR.
Yeah.
I'm going to work with another different producer on the next couple of tunes that I've got loaded up. I probably have a half dozen songs right now I'm ready to record. And that eventually when I get to 10 or 12 songs that I can put a record out where every, like, you know, two songs, it's a different style.
That's really cool.
Drastically different, because it's still all my writing, but still the production style is different. The layers of instrumentation are different. They're sort of, you know, whoever it is that I'm working with has sort of put their stamp on it as well. I like that idea. And here's my idea for the name of that record.
Okay.
Promiscuous.
Pretty good. Yeah, it works. It works for sure.
So not a term that I throw around about myself particularly often, but I do think it's kind of funny.
It fits in this case. Yeah. So one last question about that concept. Maybe you haven't thought of this yet. I'm not sure, but are the songs going to be in order? Like, will the two songs with each producer be back to back? Or are you going to sort of jumble the whole thing up and see how it flows?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to pair them up. Yeah.
It does. I'd be curious to hear what it would sound like if it was completely... I know, I guess the way people listen to music now, it could very well be shuffled, depending on how someone chooses to play it anyway, right? So.
Correct. It's a complete free-for-all in terms of how people consume it, so...
Definitely.
I guess unless I press a vinyl, and, you know?
Yeah, people are hopefully not going to be jumping
around. Listen to it
in
whatever order I want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Harder to tell.